Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. You've tuned me in either by the way of WDLP, a building at 7 o'clock. That numbers are 93.1. We are streaming this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Some of you tuned me in by the way of Ionia at I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. Others have tuned in by the way of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you tuned in by the way of Ears Radio, Internet Radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. Others have joined me by the way of my website. My website is PastorKenHarger.com. Go to Messages from the Lighthouse. Just put your mouse on top of that, and it'll open up recent media. And then you can just click on there, and you can listen to today's message. If you want to listen to other messages, some in the past broadcasts that I've done that's located there as well. However way you joined us, I'm just so glad you joined me, and I appreciate that so much. And we appreciate the privilege of being able to share on each of these stations. I need to say thank you to those that make it possible as far as the financial cost is concerned. And so we go first of all with Marie Rivard in memory and honor of her husband, Fran. She's from Dayton, Tennessee. To Gay London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave. She's from Greenville. To Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname. And she's from Orleans. And I appreciate these ladies' support in memory and honor of their husbands. To Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area. And to Bill and Judy Hammond from the building area. I appreciate each one of these supporters, and we just thank God that they are faithful in doing what we need to do in order to keep the broadcast on the air. And I will just want to just say thank you to K.N. Kingsinger. Also give an invitation to attend Shiloh Community Church, where I pastored for 50 years and still attend. And our weekend at Orleans, Michigan, begins on Saturday night, 6:30, Sunday morning, 9, and then 10:45 at the Contemporary Service. In our Greenville campus, it's at 11 o'clock. It's located in the old Lutheran Church up by the new McDonald's that's up there. And so we're just glad to be able to minister to our communities and just looking forward to God's blessing upon each of our lives. Well, as we get started this morning, going to listen to a song in a few moments, but, you know, I just led us through the 23rd Psalm, and we was looking at the Good Shepherd, and then a song from a while back came into my mind, and I really liked the song at the time that was very popular, and it was called The Gentle Healer Came to Town Today, to our town today, and I was thinking, you know, I want to put that together, the Gentle Shepherd. The gentle shepherd who is able to heal, he's came to our town today. And I wanted us to get to know some of the towns in biblical time. At the same time, see some of the things that he did when he came to town and what it brought about in the people's life. And so he's coming to our towns. I know we've been mentioned in Ionia and Greenville, and we know that he's coming to our town. He's coming to Shiloh, and we just want to learn from him. What I'm speaking about this morning is he come to town, and he reached out to those who had blew it spiritually and morally. And so we're going to talk about that for a few moments this morning. And before we do, need to listen to a song. And this song is reminding us Jesus doesn't care. He loves you. He doesn't care about your past. And that's what it was when he came into towns in days gone by. He didn't care about the person's past. He was more concerned in the future. I love this statement, and I believe it's true about the Lord Jesus. He's more concerned with your future than he is your past. And so God is reaching out to each one of us. So we'll listen to this song that reaches out with the love of Jesus to each one of us to understand what God wants to do in and through our life. Here we go. Good morning to you.
You say your friends, my dear.
You know, that's what I love about the Lord Jesus. He doesn't slam the door on anyone. He doesn't say, you can't come my way anymore. No matter how far you've drifted from him this morning, no matter how many times you said no to him and been disobedient, that love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Son of God, the Savior of mankind, reaches out to you with a fresh new love. His love is continuous. I've always liked this statement. There's nothing that you can do to make Jesus love you more. And there's nothing that you can do to make Jesus love you less. He loves you with your whole heart, his whole heart. He's demonstrated that when he paid the price, as he gave his life a sacrifice for you and I on the cross of Calvary. That's such a blessing to each one of us to know that he will never abandon us. We may abandon him, but he will never abandon us. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, once again, I want to remember the listening audience. I thank you for each person that's tuned my program in today, whatever station they may be on. I ask your special blessing to be upon them. Those that's listening right now, by the way of my website, I ask your special blessing to be upon them. So I want to pray for the listening audience. Another week's gone by. Things happen every week. Sometimes many things are very good, and sometimes as difficult things we're called upon to go through in a course of a week. So I ask your special blessing to be upon those that had some difficulty this week, maybe physically, maybe spiritually, maybe mentally. Maybe, Father, in the family unit there's been a little squabble going on. Whatever it might be, dear Father, I pray you be with the listening audience and meet them at the point of their need this morning. Thank you for those that's tuned us in, that's driving along in their car, headed to their church. I ask your special blessing to be upon them. Make them a blessing in their church and give them a blessing. And I'll thank you and I'll praise you for that. Now, Father, come and honor your word. We're going to talk about your son, Jesus, and some of the things that he did. And Father, I thank you that first of all, this morning, he's going to show us there's a tremendous difference between religion and what he wants to build with each one of us is a personal relationship. So would you be pleased to speak to our hearts and cause us to understand you a little better, I pray. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Well, folks, that's going to be one of the main things we're going to learn in the first part of our message this morning. Is there's a tremendous difference between Christianity, what Christ teaches about being having a relationship with God through him, than just a religious background. Religion oftentimes operates on rules and regulations and those kinds of things, and things that's been passed down by the way of tradition. And that was surely true of the religious people called Pharisees in Jesus' day. They stuck pretty much to the rules and the laws, and there was a lot of laws, and God gave a lot of laws in the Old Testament concerning what he wanted them to do, and they added more laws to it. So, man, they're carrying around a whole big basket of laws that they need to make sure gets fulfilled, and we'll see that this morning. But before we do, I just want us to understand, to keep in mind that Jesus never went looking for people to heal. Jesus didn't go knocking on doors and ask, anyone sick in this house today that needs a healing? Jesus had told the people in his hometown the purpose of why he was sent into this world. And it's a recording from the book of Isaiah. One day when he was there in his hometown, it was his first time to be there, the attendant gave him the book of Isaiah to read from. The attendant gave him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened up and he found a place where it read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to tell me the good news, to tell the good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce forgiveness to prisoners of sin and restoring of sight to the blind, to forgive those that have been shattered by sin, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. Now today, when a pastor gets ready to speak, he stands up. In those days, their speaker always sat down. Everyone in the synagogue watched him closely. Then he said unto them, "This passage came true today when you heard me read it." You know what Jesus is really saying? This here passage in the book of Isaiah was talking about me and what my ministry would be when I came to planet Earth. Healing wasn't his primary role. The healing must not ever be overshadowed by his primary role, which was he came to minister. He came to teach and to preach and to give people wisdom that would help them so that their truth could set them free. And you know, the healing was going to bring the crowds to Jesus, not only to be healed, but when he brought the crowds to Jesus, he'd be able to share the word of God, the message from God, and share the purpose of why he's came into this world from God the Father. And that was special. But you know what? The hometown, they're not too excited about this thing. The sad thing happened in his hometown of Nazareth was that they didn't believe in Jesus. They didn't receive Jesus. You know what it tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 13? They said, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother named Mary? Aren't his brothers named James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And all aren't his sisters here with us as well? Where then did this man get all of this? So they took offense at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there. Now listen to this, it's so sad. It's a town called Nazareth, where Jesus grew up as a little boy. And yet when he came back to that hometown, they didn't receive him. And this is said of that hometown, Nazareth. He couldn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He needs to have us believe, wants us to believe, and then he can release his good works that he wants to do in those days. But his hometown is going to miss out what I'm going to be talking to you about in the next 2-3 weeks here. And that is that Jesus came into towns, and when he left the town, it was totally different. There were people's lives who were changed. That's what Jesus wants to do as he comes to your house and to my house, as he comes to my town and to your town. By this belief in this one, the Lord Jesus, if we believe in him, if we have belief that he can do what he says he can do, he wants to bring about some different results in many homes in that town. And he did. He did when he was on planet Earth. Many of the towns that he went into, when the gentle healer left the town, there was a lot of difference that had taken place. But it's sad to think that in his hometown, Nazareth, he couldn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief. They didn't accept him, and they didn't accept his message. Folks, that's what we got to do. We not only got to accept who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. We have to accept his message. He's delivering to us the message that the Father sent him to do. And that message was about the idea of reaching out to the hurting people, reaching out to those who needed help. And I've said for many years, and I believe I've been right, God is only for those that can't make it on their own. We need to admit we need him. I need him not only for salvation. I need him as I live my daily life. I need to know that that shepherd, that gentle shepherd healer, is watching over me as an individual. So with those thoughts in mind, let's go to the one I want to spend time with, two different areas of people. First of all, those, I want to talk about somebody who blew it morally. Their life was messed up morally. I think it came probably because of a lot of bad choices. I think it came sometimes, we can use the excuse for some of these kinds of things. I think it came because of the circumstances of her life. But the good shepherd comes to the town of Capernaum. Now, Capernaum was on the northwest shore of Galilee. It was right there, pretty close to the hometown where Jesus grew up. It was pretty close there where he had healed other people as well, even the man with the unclean spirit that we talked about once before. But in the book of Mark, chapter 1, it says, and he went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath day, which would be Saturday, he entered the synagogue. Jesus was used to going to the synagogue, and so on Saturday he entered the synagogue. And he was teaching, and they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, what do you have to do, Jesus Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, and come out of him." And the unclean spirit convulsed him, and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed. This is going to be a little different turnout now, just a few miles from his own home. They were amazed, so they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commanded even the unclean spirits, and they obeyed him." And all of a once, you know what happened? His fame spread through everywhere, throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. Jesus was going to begin his ministry. Again, I remind you and I remind myself, he didn't come just to heal the people of that day. But the healing is going to give him the audience to speak the message to not only those people of that day, but to speak the same message that I need to hear, the same message that you need to hear. I love it that as one portion of Scripture said, as his custom was, he went into the Sabbath. On the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue. He was teaching. That provided him with the audience that he needed to hear, that he needed to have. But as those were listening to him, today would be like saying, that's a breath of fresh air. That teaching is beautiful. The way he presents that teaching is beautiful. They were not only receiving the Lord Jesus, they were receiving his message, the thing that the hometown didn't do. In that audience that day, there was a man with an unclean spirit, meaning he was under the control of the evil one. I'm not going to go into a lot about that. Satan, who a few days early in the wilderness tempted the Lord Jesus, and Jesus was victorious over him. It seems like he hasn't given up on Jesus yet. I do not know how this man's life was taken over by the evil one. No way for us to know that. But the spirit of that evil one knew who the Holy One of God is. That's important for you and I to know. We don't need to understand everything about the evil forces, about Satan and all the helpers that he has to help him. We need to understand, they recognize that Jesus is the Holy One. It said you believe, and it says even the evil spirits believe, and they know he's the Holy One. Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, and it came out of him. The people now see that he not only speaks with authority, but he backs it up with the authority of the things that he's able to do. And this is going to give him an audience. And Jesus was looking for an audience so he could proclaim the message the Father had sent him to do. I love the reaction that day in that town of Capernaum. The gentle, healing, good shepherd amazed the people. And his fame began to spread all around that area. You and I need to know that we need to surrender not only to the Lord Jesus, but his message. And we too need to be amazed of the love of God. Even in that song we listened to just a few moments ago, folks. Who else do you know that no matter how they were treated, the person would continue to love? That's not the norm. You could walk away from Jesus and he still would love you. You could do things whereby you denied the Lord Jesus and he's not going to let you go. We learned that from Peter. He's going to be with you. He's going to keep in tune with you. I've often said, and I do it gently, he's the hound of heaven. That once we've got a connection with him, he never gets off of our trail. He continues to follow us because he wants us to bring us back to him. If I'm speaking to you this morning, and there's a time in your life when you were more in a relationship with God than you are today, I want to tell you, God wants you to have the relationship with him that is the best it possibly can be. And he's ready and he's willing and he's waiting. Like the prodigal son learned of his father, he's waiting for us to come home to him. Well, let's continue on. Now I've given you the idea how this audience began to begin to develop. You see, Jesus had to have people to talk to. The gentle healer, the good shepherd, came to the town of Jerusalem. Now that we're going to get an audience, that's in that area as well. And there was a woman in that town who had blown it morally. She had made a lot of bad choices. She was caught by the religious leaders even in the very act of adultery, being put to shame by the religious leaders. She was brought and thrown at the ground before the Lord Jesus. And we'll get to that story in just a moment. But I want to share this first. Shame convinces us that there is no hope of ever changing. Shame seems to convince us that there's no way of you and I getting better. It seems to take away our courage. It makes us come to that point where we say, there's no use trying. I'll always be what I've always been. Jesus says something different than that. I believe if you always do what you've always done, you'll always be what you've always been. But Jesus came to change our attitude. Jesus came to change our mindset. Jesus came, dear people, to change our heart. So let's listen to the story. And let's notice the difference between religion and the relationship that Jesus wants to build with people. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and that's where he spent the night. At the dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts. Now, he's not in the temple itself. He's in the courts outside of the temple. The teachers of the law and Pharisees brought unto him a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, commands us to stone such a woman. Now, Jesus, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing Jesus. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, he stood up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And then Jesus knelt down in the temple ground, and then Jesus bent down again, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But I just want you to get the picture. Jesus is in the temple early in the morning, and there's people that's gathered to listen to him teach. They're loving what they're hearing. And sitting there, he was teaching them, and many people had come to hear his teaching. But then the religious leaders also, all of a sudden, they show up. And they seem to be dragging this woman. She doesn't seem to want to come to the temple that day. She doesn't seem to want to be in that group today. They drag her, this woman, into that very audience. And then they put shame upon her as they made her stand before the group and they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman right here was caught in the act of adultery. Now, in the law of Moses, God has told us such a woman should be stoned to death." These religious leaders brought this woman into Jesus and his teaching time. Just think of how humiliation, how humbling us, how humility that was, and how embarrassing that was, and how frightening that was for this woman. They were calling for her to have the death penalty, and they bring her in. The people came to hear Jesus teach by his speaking the word of God. But what they're about to see is Jesus teaching by his displaying the love of God for hurting people. Let me say that again. The love of God for hurting people. The Lord Jesus had the opportunity to go along with the religious leaders that are using this woman to trap Jesus in his teaching so they could accuse him. They were trying to find fault with Jesus as they were using this woman. That's another type of adultery. They were using her for their religious benefit. Jesus, but instead of that being harsh towards her as a sinner, he found a way to show the love and redemption and love of the Lord Jesus and of God the Father. He displayed the love of God. And I love the way he did that when he said, any one of you that have never committed a sin, you can throw a stone at her. We'll come on with that in just a few moments, but I want to pause and listen to a song that's reminding us of why Jesus could reach out with such love and with such compassion. Is because like the serpent was lifted up in days of old, in Moses' day, Jesus one day was lifted up between heaven and earth upon a cross. And he demonstrated for us the love of God the Father. And you know what? Those religious leaders didn't have Jesus high and lifted up. They were trying to destroy him. But you and I, to have a relationship with God that's the way it's supposed to be, is we always got to keep this one Jesus high and lifted up. So we'll listen to this song, and then I'll come back and share the rest of the message with us. He was high, and he was lifted up. God bless you.
Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will surely draw men unto me. So as Moses raised the serpent in the wilderness, so high and lifted up must Jesus be. See him on the cross, his eyes of love, looking down on all who stood and watched his shame. As they mocked him and they scourged him, God turned his eyes away, while high and lifted up, he took the blame. High and lifted up, a loving Savior. High and lifted up for all to see. Reconciled to God and man forever. High and lifted up on Calvary. Come again, that wherever I may be, you will be near. So I'm looking toward the heavens, up to the eastern sky, where high and lifted up, he shall appear. There to meet a bride adorned and waiting, as all of heaven's angels start to sing. Nevermore to be the lowly man of Galilee, where high and lifted up we'll see the King. High and lifted up in all his glory, high and lifted up in robes of white, coming back to rule and reign forever. High and lifted up on clouds of white, high and lifted up in all his glory, high and lifted up in robes of white, coming back to rule and reign forever. High and lifted up, high and lifted up.
Now, you and I know that, dear people. We know he's to be high and he's to be lifted up. But those Pharisees that came with that woman taken in the very act of adultery, they were high and lifted up. They were the judges. They were coming condemning this woman and using the teachings of Moses to do so. But the one Lord Jesus, I love what we just shared before the song. You know, he bowed down and wrote something in the sand. And then when he stood up, he said, "He that has never committed a sin, you throw the first stone." They were all guilty, but they were pointing the finger at her. We'll find that out as we continue on. You know, in John 3:16, when God tells us how much he loves this world, that he gave us his one and only Son, when it talks about Jesus coming, it says he isn't coming to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life. That's the purpose of Jesus' coming. He was sent, remember, to release those that's a prisoner. This woman was a prisoner to the sex act. This woman was not only a prisoner, she needed to know forgiveness. And that's what Jesus came to deliver, the forgiveness. And as we close this before the song, anyone without sin, you throw the first stone. And once more he bent down and he wrote on the ground. But when they heard it, they went away one by one. When they heard the words of Jesus in their ears, "You've never committed a sin? Throw a stone." It makes me think that they had stones in their hand. And beginning with the oldest one and down to the youngest, they left one by one. I can just see the stone dropping out of their hand. And then Jesus stood up. And the only one that was there was the woman. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." There's the answer. Jesus has come to give some power to overcome whatever is controlling your life, whatever you're a prisoner to. He wants to give us something to overcome that. You know what? The thing that would help this woman to overcome that in her life is a realization that if Jesus hadn't been there, without a doubt, they probably would have stoned her to death. She knows her life has been spared. I love the way Jesus taught that day in the courtyard of the temple, as he turned the judgment scene into a scene of grace, as the Lord Jesus responded with respect and dignity to this woman. He gave this woman back to her dignity, gave her back her dignity and a sense of self-respect right before the crowd when he said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Because he gave her permission to try again, he said, "Go and from now on, sin no more." I'm glad to see Jesus is the Jesus of the second chance. Aren't you glad to know that God is the God of the second chance? We've all blown it somewhere along the way morally. And God doesn't give up on us. He still loves us as he did this woman here. May have made some bad choices in your life, but God still loves you. I believe we need to know that God gives everyone a second chance. He reaches out with opportunity for you and reaches out with opportunity for me. The main thing I got to ask myself, though, do I give people a second chance? I've met people that don't give second chances. That's difficult because someday you might need a second chance. I might need a second chance. You know, Jesus, then when he closes that conversation with them, Jesus said, to them, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You know what God's saying? I'm going to give you some information that when you understand it, it's going to help you to see that light is better than darkness. And I am the light of the world. And he says, and when you walk with me, you can't have that darkness. You see, you can't have both light and darkness at the same time. Have you noticed that? I love the way Jesus teaches here. You know, if the room is dark, you can't have light. If the room is light, you can't have darkness. When the light comes, the darkness disappears. And Jesus reminds us that sometimes that's why people don't respond to him, is because men, he's the light of the world, and men love darkness rather than they love light. He wants us to come to light. Matter of fact, for each one of us as a believer this morning, I really like what's written to us Christians in 1 John chapter 1. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know what he's teaching us? He's teaching us that God is going to be able to bring about in your life and my life cleansing power. That's what that woman needed, folks. She didn't need to be condemned. She didn't mean to be used by religious people. That's what they were doing to her. They were using her. And that was something that was tremendously difficult. The good shepherd came to the Jerusalem court lot that day, and the people learned of the blessings of God's goodness in their life. Now I got to pause for just a second to share what I want to share for the rest of my time together this morning. You know what, folks? It's so easy when you and I have something that's happened in our life that's not very nice. Sometimes when we've seen somebody being taken advantage of, and especially it seems like in the name of religion, I want to tell you this morning, those Pharisees were just religious people. And they just lived by rules and regulations. And they did a lot of heaviness on people, but they didn't even practice it themselves. But I want you to know something this morning. When somebody in a group like this Pharisee group, when they do something that gives the whole group a bad name, you and I need to know that doesn't mean the whole group is that way. We often do that. We would think, if I just left this story with you that I've just shared, how those religious leaders misused that woman for their benefit, that gives you a sour taste in your mouth for Pharisees. But I want us to go on in the scripture and notice something else. There was a man of the Pharisee named Nicodemus. And he wasn't only a Pharisee, but he was ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. This man came to Jesus by night, and he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God. And he's saying, us Pharisees know you're a teacher from God. For no one could do these signs that you do unless God was with them. You see, they were concerned about their religion. They already knew who he was. Jesus answered and said unto him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. He said, Nicodemus, I'm not coming to give rules and regulations. Nicodemus, I have a relationship with my Father, is what he could be saying. And my Father has a relationship with me. and he sent me down here on planet Earth that all mankind might have a relationship with God. And it's not a religious thing. It's having a new life. When you were born physically, you got your physical life. Nicodemus, you need to have a spiritual life. And spiritual life is not produced by doing religious things. And surely spiritual life was not produced by taking a woman and taking an adultery and throwing her at the feet of Jesus and saying, what are you going to do about her, Jesus? That's the religious attitude. That's a religious heart. And Jesus is here to bring that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In our thoughts today, we see Jesus working one by one with a very religious man. He had a question about things that he had heard Jesus doing and saying, and that Jesus had been teaching. He had an open mind, and he wanted to know more about this person, Jesus. See, he wants to come to understand. He wants to know more about Jesus and about the teachings that he's given. For the most part, the religious leaders of Jesus' day were very much against Jesus. And they were very much against his teaching. They were like his hometown was. They rejected him. But this man wanted to have a talk with Jesus. He wanted to sit with him. You know what is said of him? And every time his name is mentioned from this time forward in the Bible, it said Nicodemus, the one that came to Jesus by night. You know why he came to Jesus by night without a doubt? Is he had fear that his fellow Pharisees might see him and they might condemn him for going talking to this one Jesus. The Jewish religion in Jesus' day was a lot of rules and regulations and traditions of man handed down from one generation to the next generation. Jesus is coming to this planet Earth to have a spiritual relationship. To understand that God loves us. To understand you don't get close to God by obeying rules and regulations. You get close to God by having a relationship with him. And Nicodemus didn't understand that at this point in time. And Jesus met him. And yet Nicodemus did understand that this one Jesus was from God. And he knew that nobody could do these things that Jesus was doing. And he knew in Jesus' teaching it was different than the teachings that they were given. When Jesus speaks about the need to have spiritual birth with God, Nicodemus doesn't understand that. He's thinking about being born again like he was as a baby boy. Jesus is speaking about having a time as an individual. When in your life, you know there was a beginning of a spiritual part of your life. You know there was something that happened as you turned to this one God and Jesus and responded to them in love and responded to them in obedience, that something happened inside of you that made you have a spiritual nature, not just a human nature. God's at work in a life. The need is to be born. I love it the way the scripture says, it's to be born from above. I was born physically from below, then I need to be born from above. My time is running out, but I want to share this with you folks. You know, one time when the Pharisees were all gathered together, Nicodemus stood up. They were condemning Jesus, and Nicodemus says, do we condemn people before we hear the person? Have you talked with him, he's saying. This is where Nicodemus now is going to make a stand. Do we condemn the one we have not talked to? We need to do that. We need to speak to him. And he stood up for the Lord Jesus. But I got to tell you, the thing that really draws me to Nicodemus, as I see the difference between him understanding a religious idea and a relationship with a person, is when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, it was Nicodemus who tuned up with his buddy Joseph of Arimathea, who came to the leader, Pilate, and asked for the body of the Lord Jesus. of all the people I've talked about in the Bible through all my years of life, these two men are the men I want to meet. Listen to what they did, folks. They came and they begged the body. They took the body down from the cross. And Joseph had had a tomb hewed out for himself, and Joseph let Jesus use a tomb that he'd hewed for himself. And of all the people in the Bible, those are the two I want to meet. You know why? Because they did for Jesus what Jesus couldn't do for himself. And that's powerful to me. That means a lot to me that he reached out and did for Jesus what he was unable to do for himself, laid him in the place of rest. That's when Joseph came to understand it wasn't a religious thing. It was a relationship, and a relationship that was built even in a difficult time of life such as death. And that's powerful for us. That's powerful for him. So we're going to listen, folks. The Gentle Shepherd, here he comes. Let's listen in.
Find